Welcome to the NTEB Radio Bible Study with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Grider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good evening, happy Monday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of Rightly Dividing. My name is Jeff Grider. I am the editor-in-chief of NowTheEndBegins.com. And tonight, for the next 2 hours, I have the honor and the privilege of being your radio host and Bible teacher. Tonight, looking at the overlapping dispensations in the book of Acts shows what we can expect to see as our own church age begins to close. Oftentimes, people will hear me talk on a broadcast that we are right now living in the overlap period. How many of you have ever heard me use that expression before, that we're living in the overlap? The overlap period of the closing of the church age that will shortly usher in the start of the time of Jacob's trouble. This type of talk puzzles Christians who were not raised in churches where rightly dividing was taught. But I assure you that it's Pauline doctrine for our dispensation. In Acts chapter 24, verses 14 and 15, "But this I confess unto thee, that after the way which they call heresy," writes the Apostle Paul, "so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which are written in the law and the prophets, and have hope toward God, which they themselves also allow, that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just," that's the first resurrection, "and the unjust," that's the second resurrection. On this episode of Rightly Dividing, we are taking a deep look into the middle stages of the book of Acts, where the kingdom age under Paul had just temporarily, well, if 2,000 years can be considered a temporary cessation, ended, and the start of the church age under Paul had begun. This is a fascinating time where the apostles are not aware of the switch until Paul shows up to clue them in. Understanding how things were at the dawn of the church age will greatly assist us here and now at the closing of our age, and better equip us to understand the true nature and import of events unfolding all around us in these chaotic times. Have you seen the news lately? To say that we're living in chaotic times is a massive understatement. Maybe you think that you understand the book of Acts. Tonight, tune in to hear the rest of the story. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you've gathered and for the many more that will listen in the archives. And Lord, we pray, Lord, 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 in the book of Daniel, it says that the Antichrist will seek to wear out the saints of the Most High. And doesn't it feel like we're getting worn out here and now? I can only imagine what's going to happen during that time period after we leave in the rapture. So, Heavenly Father, we come before you and we ask you to meet with us tonight. We ask you to revive us and recharge us, refresh us. Set a hedge of protection about us, Lord, as we open up your word and we seek your face and we seek to get closer to you and learn more about you. Lord, we believe your word. We thank you for preserving it in a King James Bible. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord, 30 years ago. I thank you for all the souls that have been getting saved here lately. And we pray, Lord, that that harvest will continue. And we're so excited. And Lord, in just a bit, we're going to lift up our prayers and our praises before you. And we're going to remind you, Father, that we're a needy people and we need you. If nobody wants you, Lord, we want you. If nobody wants your old King James Bible, we want it. And we invite you to meet with us here tonight, Lord. Be our honored guest and lead us and guide us in your name, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Tina says that very excited about the Bible study tonight. I'm excited about the Bible study tonight. The Lord has got a hold of my heart all week long. I've been knee-deep in the book of Acts 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, and God really showed me some interesting things in my morning Bible study time. If you ever wonder, where do I come up with the ideas for the Bible studies? Well, you got to open up the book and you got to read it. You got to get knee deep in that Bible and you got to say, Holy Spirit, open my eyes so that I may understand the things in your word. And in the course of doing that, God begins to lay on my heart things to talk about. Today it was very obvious, just like last Sunday morning, what we talked about last Sunday, that just literally jumped out at me. It just leapt off the pages. So tonight we're going to be talking about rightly dividing. We're going to be talking about dispensations. But more importantly, we're going to be looking at how, because so many people hear me, I say it all the time, that we're living in the overlap. And people say, what does that mean? The overlap of what? Well, our church age is coming to a close. And the dispensation that is on the horizon is getting closer and closer and closer. And just like we're going to see in the book of Acts, when the kingdom age came to a close and the church age began to rise, there was this period of time where there was a little bit of confusion among the disciples and the apostles and the brethren and the believers and everybody else. And we're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at when the dispensation changed 2,000 years ago. What were they talking about? How were they figuring stuff out? How was God working and moving to show them that the dispensation had changed? Well, one of the main things that God did 2,000 years ago to show them that the dispensation had changed is he raised up their biggest enemy, Saul. And Saul became Paul, and Paul became the leader of the very church that he was trying to destroy. Now, if that's not a clue that something is very, very different, I don't know what is. And too many times we read the Bible and we don't picture what were these people thinking. Yes, we have the book of Acts, all 28 chapters. But there were thousands of hours of conversations and thoughts and meetings and lunches and dinners and all sorts of things that everybody in the book of Acts did that is not recorded. Have you ever tried to get into the thinking of the Apostle Peter? What must Peter have been thinking when Jesus chose Saul to be the leader? Peter was the leader. And then the dispensation changed. Peter took a back seat. Paul comes to the front. And so I thought it would be really interesting to look at 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts. What was life like when the dispensation was changing and there was an overlap between the old dispensation and the new dispensation? Now, people say, well, that can't happen. One dispensation has to come completely to a close for the other one to begin. Well, I'm going to show you tonight that didn't happen 2,000 years ago, and it's not going to happen now. When dispensations in the Bible come to an end, it overlaps, or it is overlapped by the incoming dispensation, and that's what I'm going to show you tonight, and I think it's going to be fascinating. So I'm very, very glad that you're here. I'm plugged in. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. I'll have a lot of praise reports tonight, a ton of prayers. So if you have a praise report or if you have a prayer, please post that into the chat room. Lori Ann is going to grab that and put it on a list where I can get at it. And if you are listening to this program and you have always thought, wouldn't it be great if I could be in the chat room? Well, all you have to do is go to ntebradio.com. That's ntebradio.com. and you'll be in the chat room. Hope to see you there.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. Will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word? All is vain unless the Spirit of the
watching the news. It is an unbelievable, eye-popping, ear-bleeding, mind-numbing spectacle that is unfolding before us right now. And not just here in America, but all around the world. Afghanistan has been taken over by the Taliban. The United States of America, under the order of Joe Biden, has been humiliated in a pathetic attempt to run away from our responsibilities in Afghanistan and to leave the Afghan people that trusted us holding the bag. Over in Rome, TV commercial was produced. And who was the star of that commercial, you might ask? None other than Pope Francis. And we wrote about that today. Pope Francis creates commercial calling all Roman Catholics, 1.329 billion of them, to join the, quote, universal vaccination program as an act of love, end quote. To the world's billion-plus Catholics, the Pope is one of the most trusted messengers and upholds unparalleled influence, Sherman said. We are extremely grateful to him and the cardinals and the archbishops for lending their voices and platforms to help people all across the world feel more confident about taking the vaccine. Pope Francis made a TV commercial with a bunch of cardinals and bishops, and it was a Spanish language TV commercial. The bulk of the followers of the Roman Catholic Church are in Spanish-speaking nations primarily. And so Pope Francis has gone on a campaign where he wants 1.3 billion Catholics to show an act of love to join the universal vaccination program. Remember when we used to talk about Bill Gates and his desire to have a universal vaccine? It's an amazing coincidence, don't you think, that Pope Francis is now asking for the exact same thing. And if you want to show an amazing act of love, then you step right up and receive the mark of the beast. No, it's not the mark of the beast. But guess what? It's preparing you for the mark of the beast. In the article, I used the analogy of World War I and World War II, and I wrote this. Do you know what World War I was? It was a warm-up for World War II, which featured a man who, in seven ways, was a perfect type of Antichrist. Who do you think I'm talking about? A man who terrorized the whole world and launched a campaign to slaughter 50% of the Jews in a stunning foreshadowing of the coming time of the Great Tribulation. Now, do you know what the COVID vaccine is? It's not the mark of the beast. It's the World War I warm-up that leads you to the mark of the beast. Now, if you read and believe your King James Bible, then you know exactly what's going on. If you don't, you'll be taken by surprise. Three guesses, three sixes, take your pick. You'll wind up at the same place. Ecclesiastes 1:9 says this, "The thing that hath been is the thing which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done, and there is no new thing under the sun." You know what Adolf Hitler was? He was the last type of Antichrist before the real son of perdition, Antichrist, shows up. We are out of types, we are out of pictures, and we are almost out of time. You are watching history repeat itself. You are watching this world crumble to pieces, exactly the way that we always told you that it would go. For the last 12 years, we've told you this. For generations, the Bible has warned of the coming end of days, and you are now living in that time. America, a nation raised up by the hand of God to spread the gospel and to be a beacon of freedom for people around the world, is about to be forever silenced by those people sworn to protect her, her leaders. I saw an article today. I didn't have time to even read the whole thing. It was basically just a picture that I saw. It was a news program saying that right now the Taliban is in talks with Russia and China. That's where we are. America is collapsing. If you've been watching the news for more than 5 minutes at any point in the last 5 days, everything that we've been warning about for 12 years, you are now watching on the nightly news. I want you to think about that. Now the end begins. The very first graphic that I ever made was talking about America being betrayed by its own leaders. And here we are. It's sad on one hand, but on the other hand, you and I who are saved, what are we looking for? We're not looking to make America great again. Hebrews 11, starting in verse 14, "For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city." For you and I, that city is New Jerusalem. And that's where you and I are headed. And so I want you to take comfort in one thing. As you see all this crazy stuff happening, the crazier that it gets, the closer we get to getting out of here. Because these are the things that must take place in order for us to depart. If these things weren't taking place, then we wouldn't be getting ready to get out of here. And I know it's hard to watch. It's heartbreaking to watch. But I want you to keep your eyes on the prize. I want you to keep looking up, because soon and very soon we are going to be on Flight 777 on Titus 213 Airlines, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And we are going up and out of here. That's where your focus needs to be. And while we wait, we're not here to cower in fear and to draw back and to run away and hide in a cave as all this stuff starts to rage around us. No, that's not what Christians are called to do. We are called to step up to the plate and to fight, because one day you and I are going to be up in the clouds with the Lord Jesus Christ. That's where your focus needs to be. Coming, and that's the day that you and I need to be ready for. We're only going to get one shot at it. Don't blow it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, starting in verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Do those words comfort you? When I read those verses, does that calm your spirit? Does that give you confidence that we serve a risen Savior that is quite capable of doing everything that he's promised to do? In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep know me and they hear my voice and they follow me." We're going to follow him all the way up to the clouds. That's where we're going. This world is not our home. For those of you who have been saved for a while, how many years have you been singing that song, "This world is not my home and I'm just a passing through"? Well, you've lived, congratulations. You've lived long enough that you're going to live the words of that song out. And now you see that truly this world is not your home. And as you watch it crumble, the only thing that I can think of is thank God that I'm saved and I have a hope in Jesus Christ. If you have that hope, it's well. If you don't have that hope, it's nothing but turmoil. If you're listening to this program, maybe you're one of those secret listeners. You don't ever talk in the chat room. You don't ever ask anybody any questions. You just tune in and you listen. And for a long time now, the Lord's been talking to you. You know you're not saved. You know that if you would die tonight, you would wake up in hell. Literal burning flames from which there is no escape. You know you're not saved. Don't put it off. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Don't put it off. You may not get tomorrow. If you want to know how to be saved, jump in the chat room. Ask me. And just like we did for Michael 2 weeks ago, I'll stop the program. And we'll tell you how to get saved live on the radio. Doesn't matter how you get saved. Some people get saved at church. Some people get saved through a street preacher. Some people get saved through a gospel tract that shows up on their table when they're out trying to have a lunch. And somebody who sat there before them just snuck a gospel track right between the salt shaker and the pepper shaker, or on the backside of the napkin holder. Things that I've done hundreds of times. People get saved in a variety of ways. If you're not saved, why not? What's holding you back? You know you're a sinner. You know that you deserve hell. Jesus knows you deserve hell. But he doesn't want you to go. And he doesn't want you to go so badly that he went to the cross and he shed his own blood so you wouldn't have to go to hell. Don't put it off. You may not get tomorrow.
One day, Jesus is coming. You may be at church. You may be at work. You may be asleep. God grant that you will be ready when he makes his personal appearance. My God, what if his appearance occurs on a Sunday morning? My prophetic word to you this morning is get ready, get ready!
יברכך אדוני וישמרך. יאר אדוני פניו אליך ויחונקה. יישא אדוני פניו אליך וישם לך שלום.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord, for all these that you're gathered. There's a guest in the chat room with the initials S-A-J, and he writes, or she writes, I have made the confession according to Romans 10, 9 and 10, and I understand that I am a sinner and I am lost, but do not know if I was accepted. Well, let's see what Romans chapter 10 says. It's very clear, it's very plain. Either you believe it or you don't. Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Verse 13 of Romans 10, for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Well, if you've done that, I would direct your attention to 1 John 5:13. S.A.J. says that they have prayed according to Romans chapter 10, 9 through 13. Well, after you've done that, take a look at 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Now, I can't make it any more clear or plain than that. S.A.J., if you've prayed Romans 10, 9 through 13. Now I want you to meditate on 1 John 5:13, that ye may know that ye have eternal life because you have believed on the name of the Son of God. Very good to see Gabby in the chat room. We have missed you very, very much. Gabby lives down in Argentina. And we're very, very glad that she's back. Heavenly Father, we come before you, and so many prayers tonight, overwhelming amount of prayers tonight. We have a praise report from Beth. We've been praying for Beth. She was in the hospital 2 weeks ago with COVID in the ICU. She just sent me a message about half an hour ago. She writes, I am so happy to be home. I have settled in. I feel so much better today than yesterday. My main concern is keeping my oxygen levels saturated to where they need to be. She said, I still covet your prayers, meaning all of us. I am so happy that my friend Karen introduced me to the NTEB website. Then I began listening to your podcast. It was very nice to have met you when we visited the bookstore. So that is the very latest from Beth, who is home from the hospital. She is on the mend from COVID, and she says, please keep me in your prayers. And Beth, we absolutely will. Patty, very excited. Her brain tumor is benign. Can you imagine being diagnosed with a brain tumor and then having to wait a few weeks to find out if it's malignant or benign? Can you imagine what Patty was going through? Well, she didn't turn to the bottle. She didn't turn to drugs. She turned to Jesus Christ and to the body of Christ. And we've been praying for her. And God has answered that prayer in a mighty way. Here's another praise report. Andrew Meyer. I want you to listen to what Andrew wrote to me 2 days ago. He writes, "Hi, Jeffrey. A few months ago, I requested a free Bible from your website for my doctor who is treating me for a leg blood clot which is slowly going away. Praise God. Anyway, I just talked to the doctor and I asked the question of salvation. He tells me he is listening to your ministry and has accepted Jesus Christ as his personal Lord and Savior. He senses that the world is on fire and is going down fast, and now he is saved by the blood. All glory to God Almighty. Thank you for your ministry. God bless, Brother Andrew." So, Andrew requested a free Bible from the NTEB Free Bible and Gospel Tract Program. He gave it to his doctor that was treating him for a medical condition. He witnessed to his doctor, gave him the free Bible. The doctor prayed to get saved, and he is now listening to this program. Do you see how important this free Bible and Gospel Tract program is? Do you realize that when we send out these hundreds of Bibles every single month, that God is using them in a mighty, mighty, mighty way? When I read that email from Andrew, it's like I almost couldn't even believe what I was reading. It was filled with such good news. We were able to give Andrew a free Bible because you guys support this program, and we can give a free Ruckman Reference Study Bible to anybody who asks for one around the world. And now Andrew requested the Bible, got the Bible, witnessed to his doctor got saved, and now his doctor is listening to these programs. So if you're listening tonight, Andrew's doctor, you made the best decision that you'll ever make. You're a doctor, but you put your eternal security in the hands of the great physician, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Andrew, for that praise report. Cheryl D., we've been praying for her with COVID. Cheryl D. has been discharged from the hospital, and she's recovering from COVID at her mom's house. We're praying for Lori D. in Pennsylvania, Jacqueline, New Mexico, Chelsea on the West Coast. God knows the needs. Harmon's son, Michael, battling pancreatic cancer. Hal needs I'm tongue-tied tonight. Hal is needing a lung transplant, but they want to make him take the vaccine, and he's praying that he can have the lung transplant without the vaccine. Please remember Anita Bennett and her son Kingsley. Mark Bennett went home to be with the Lord about 3 weeks ago. We prayed for him, but God decided to take him. Michael from Ohio is asking for prayers for his friend Jamie's wife. I would love to have an update on that one. Michael, if you're listening, please let us know how Jamie's wife is doing in the ICU. Please keep Jeanette and her parents in prayer for health issues. Pastor John Ree in the Philippines and the great work that God's doing through him down there and laying on our hearts to help him. Malia McLean's health and protection from COVID. Chick Publications, they've been closed for the last 10 days due to a COVID outbreak. Please pray for Ken Shiner. He is the father of one of my son's best friends, and he lives right here just a few blocks away from the studio, and he's been hospitalized with COVID for the last couple of weeks, and we want to pray Ken Shiner home. I don't know if he's saved, so pray for his salvation too. Prayers for a hedge of protection about me in this ministry. I have a little bit of a praise report. I got tested for COVID today, and I tested negative. And we've been praying for one of my employees and her boyfriend who got COVID last week. And they're doing good, but just please remember to keep them in your prayers. Angelique Nicholas, recovering for COVID, keep her in your prayers. Lorianne's Uncle Don for salvation. He's made a profession of faith, but, well, we need confirmation. Patty D is asking for prayers for her family. She says, please pray for my aunt in Florida recovering from COVID, but her husband, Uncle Jack, went home to be with the Lord. So, she needs prayers for comfort and for protection. Please keep Paul Zeroth wrote to me a couple of days ago. His son's an alcoholic, and he started acting like he was possessed by demons. Paul wrote to me, and he said, my son is, he can't sleep, he's freaking out, he's hearing voices. And then as soon as he told me that his son was an alcoholic, it became pretty clear what his problem probably was. A lot of the times when an alcoholic stops drinking, they experience something called delirium tremens, or the DTs, and you can hallucinate pretty badly with the DTs. So Paul Zeroth, please keep his son in your prayers, that he would fully heal and recover from alcoholism and get saved. Bruce Bridges says, my wife found out that her employer is going to mandate the jab starting November 15th. She loves her job, but is wondering if she should look for another. Pray for wisdom. Carrie says, praise report. Jesus, the great technician, allowed us to fix a machine that had been down for months at the Bogard Press, Baptist Press in Texarkana. And this came 5 minutes after they prayed for help. Amen, Carrie. Shannon Kay says, here is my prayer for all the crazy news today. Please come for us, Lord Jesus. Hear our cry, O God. With tears we mourn what has become of this world, but with joy in the Spirit, we smile for your greatness and mercies in salvation and lift up our face toward heaven in gladness, knowing that we will be coming into your courts with high praises on our lips, ready to kneel before you, saying, Abba, Father, thank you for saving us. Amen. Jeffrey in Kentucky, my son Tyler, Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and her whole family, salvation. I was at the Reds game the other night, and a man called me a moron. And I said, nope, only morons go to hell, and I'm not going there. And so Kentucky Jeffrey is asking for power and provision and protection, that we would lift him up before the Lord so that he could continue to preach the gospel at the Cincinnati Reds baseball stadium. Keep going strong, brother. Keep going strong. Sherry A. says, praise report. Thank you all for praying for Cleo. He's losing blood internally and refusing treatment. He's now home with hospice. Cleo's going home, and he's at peace. And Sherry says, thank you, prayer warriors. Amen. Karen says, hey, everybody, I made it to the Bible study. Been a great day. please pray for my neighbor. I've been preaching to see a Bible accepted today. Please pray she will come to our Bible studies at NTEB and read her Bible. So Karen gave her a Bible, and she asked for prayers that she'll join us in our Bible study. Most of all, pray that she accepts Jesus Christ as her Savior. Carol Jane says, prayer for a friend, Sosin, whose family is in Afghanistan and are Christians. That's a bad place to be right now. Gary says, please pray for my parents. They're both in their mid-80s, and they took the jab against my warning. A lot of people have been taking the jab. Cheryl says, my son is thinking about the jab. I hope he does. I pray he doesn't take it. Tina, prayer request for my Roman Catholic family salvation. Jan Lacker says, pray for my unsaved son, David, that he would be saved. Amen. Carolyn, please pray for my husband, Steve, who is having a retina attachment surgery in the morning. And we're going to pray that all goes well for Carolyn's husband, Steve. Southern Bell said that she's sitting listening to this program with her unsaved husband sitting right beside her. I would direct your attention to Luke chapter 16 and what the immediate fate was of the rich man who died and he was not saved. The Bible says this in Luke chapter 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abram, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. If you don't get saved, one day, that's going to be you. Tormented in the flame. And the worst part is, you don't have to go. That's a choice that you make. If you want heaven, choose Jesus Christ. If you want hell, choose anything else. Choose religion, science, self-help, good vibes, good feelings. None of those things will get you to heaven. Andy says, please pray for all my vaccinated relatives that are now coming down with COVID. Mighty Little Lion says, prayer request for my neurological condition, burning nerve pains. Feels like I'm on fire at times. Can't imagine what that would be like. Carasquero says, please pray for my health, my house, and other private things in my laundry list of requests. I also pray that God would use me more. That's always a good prayer for a Christian to pray. Send me in, coach. Send me in. In Isaiah chapter 6, God said something like that to Isaiah. It's one of my favorite passages in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 6:6, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken from the tongs from off the altar. And he laid it on my mouth and said, lo, this has touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. That's what every Christian should be praying. Here am I, Lord, send me. LT says, please pray for my family. My sons are now living with me again, both unsaved, and one has a girlfriend, and my grandson is also here. They are planning to be married next year. Cheryl says, please pray for our KFC David that I post here. I believe that he's somewhere close to Afghanistan, we haven't heard from him. Cheryl, are you saying that this is the same KFC that posts all those beautiful pictures on the website in the comment section? I've been wondering where he's been lately. We will absolutely keep him in prayer. Shauna says, praise report. My friend Kelly, husband, two children, have completely recovered from COVID. An entire family, just like Joshua Gaskin's entire family, recovered from COVID. And Shauna writes, thank you, NTEB family, for prayers, and praise God for his mercy. Amen. I always like to remind God how merciful he is, so that he will continue to show me mercy. Pamela, my brother Anthony is doing somewhat better. Thank you for all the prayers. Praying that the Lord will allow the fire to heat up even more for the lost in my soul. Rob says, salvation for everyone in my prayer list, which is about a mile long. His grace is enough for me, says, prayers for my neighbors. That's all they want to do is party on the lake whilst the world is diving down to destruction. They think that I'm crazy. They need to wake up from their sleep. A lot of people sound asleep right now. S.A.J. says, pray for confirmation of my salvation. And we talked about that at the start of this prayer time. 1 John 5:13, brother. 1 John 5:13. These things I have written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. If you read that and you prayed Romans 10, 9 through 13, and you ask God to save you, and you don't believe he did, then you're calling God a liar. And I want you to think about that. And this goes for everybody who is looking for confirmation of their salvation. If you prayed and asked God to save you, according to 1 Corinthians 15:1 through 4, Romans 10, 9 through 13, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, if you have prayed and asked God to save you, and then you have read 1 John 5:13 that says, you may know that you have been saved, and you still doubt it, then you are calling God a liar. Because God tells you what the truth is. And if you pray to get saved, God's word said, if you pray to get saved, he'll save you. 1 John 5:13 tells you that you may know. And if you still don't know, then you're calling God a liar. You might want to think about that. Very glad that you reached out, asking for prayers for confirmation of your salvation. Romans 10 and 1 John 5:13 is confirmation of your salvation. Southern Bell says, my four-month-old granddaughter at home and doing well after a few days in the hospital. Amen. The little girl had COVID. Julia says, please pray for my mother. She has a leaky heart valve. Her name is Helen. Gabby is back in the chat room. So glad to see you back. We love you, Gabby. Gabby says, please pray for my cousin Annie. She's at the hospital. They can't wake her up from an induced coma to treat her for pneumonia. KJB Believer says, pray for all the lost souls that live in Haiti, as that nation is heavily into voodoo worship and human sacrifice. It's a rough place. Phyllis says, pray for my sister Joyce. She's an alcoholic who needs to get saved. Budgie says, 30-year-old cousin went to be with the Lord. Please pray for Grandma Joyce, Dad Mike, and Brother Ben. They're devastated. Guest S says, please pray for the protection of Afghan Christians. Over 200 are scheduled to be killed tomorrow. Ugh, it's terrible. Me and God says, please pray for my husband. His mother passed away this morning at 9:49 p.m., a.m. Lulu says, praying salvation for our lost family and friends. Keith, prayer for the body of Christ and those that preach and teach the Lord's true word. Gabby says, I thank each one of you for all the prayers for me and my parents as well. Dad went home to be with the Lord in February, and my mom joined Dad in April. Well, now we know where Gabby has been. We're sorry for your loss. Glad that you're back, and very, very happy to pray for you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, God, for the greatest number of prayers that we've ever had on any program. A half an hour worth of prayers. And what an honor and a privilege and a blessing that is. To have a 30-minute prayer time during our Bible study. The needs are great, Father God. People need healing. People need comfort. People need confirmation of their salvation. People have lost loved ones. People have loved ones sick. And in the midst of it all, we have possibly more praise reports than we've ever had. And we rejoice that something is getting done for the Lord. Paul says that we sorrow, but we don't sorrow as those people that have no hope. Because we have a living hope, Jesus Christ. So Father God, for all these prayers and for all these needs, we pray for Andrew Meyer's doctor. He gave a Bible to the man prayed to receive you. Please keep him close, Lord, and keep him coming back to these programs. Please save Southern Belle's husband and everybody else who has a lost loved one. Mother, father, brother, sister, aunt, uncle, son, daughter. And Lord, we thank you that you've assembled all of us together here at Now the End Begins. And that we can meet together as a church family. Not in a church, but we are the church. And we're so glad and we're so grateful. And we ask you, Father God, to hear all these prayers and meet all these needs. And answer, Lord, according to your glory and our good. And we'll thank you and we'll praise you. We commit this time to you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to have a little bit of a shorter Bible study tonight, but that is A-okay with me. I'll just talk faster, you listen faster, and we'll get something done. Taking a quick break, but when we come back, we are going to jump right in to tonight's topic, living in the overlap of a changing dispensation. Very, very glad that you're here tonight. And guess what? You and I, we're almost home.
Are you disappointed? Are you desperate for help? You know what it's like to be tired and only a shell of yourself. Will you start to believe? Don't have what it takes, 'cause it's all you can do just to move, much less finish the race. But don't forget what lies ahead. Sister!
has brought heaven to us. But make no mistake, there's still more to come. When our flesh and our bone are no longer between where we are right now and where we're meant to be. When all that's been lost is made whole.
Home. And tonight, we're looking at what happens when one dispensation begins to overlap on the other. You don't think it's possible? It absolutely is possible because it's already happened. If you could turn your attention, please, to Acts chapter 1, and I'll try to do the introduction part quickly because time is a consideration now. Acts chapter 1. Starting in verse 6, well, actually, starting in verse 4. No, let's just start in verse 1. Let's read Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. The former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? So the first thing that I want to point out tonight is that the apostles were not waiting for heaven. They were not waiting for the rapture. They were waiting for what the Old Testament had promised them. They were waiting for the Messiah, Jesus Christ, to come back and to sit on the throne of David and to rule and reign in righteousness over an earthly kingdom. That's what they're waiting for in Acts chapter 1. And then in verse 15, it says, and in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, the number of names together were about 120. Men and brethren, this scripture must needs have been fulfilled, which the Holy Ghost by the mouth of David spake before concerning Judas, which was guide to them that took Jesus. And Peter begins to talk about the betrayal and death of Judas and then the replacement for Judas. And then when you get to Acts chapter 2, it's the day of Pentecost. And there appeared, verse 3, unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And on it goes. It shows you the day of Pentecost. Now, one thing that you want to pay careful attention to, this is where the charismatic church gets all screwed up. There were no Gentiles here. There was no Christian church in Acts chapter 2. The word Christian wouldn't even be used for another 9 chapters. So who are these people in Acts chapter 2? They're Jewish believers. Look at verse 14. Acts 2:14, but Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as ye suppose, seeing but it is the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken of by the prophet Joel. And then he says, And it shall come to pass in the last days, say God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. Now, is that what was happening on the day of Pentecost? No. God's spirit was not being poured out upon all flesh. It was only poured out upon those people who sat in the upper room. All these people are Jewish. There is no Christian church here. There's no Gentiles. There's no doctrine of the body of Christ. There's no salvation by grace through faith. There's none of that. And then, for the next 5 chapters, turn to Acts chapter 7. And then Stephen begins to preach. And Stephen begins to teach the Jews. And they don't like what he has to say. Now, if the Jewish people will accept the preaching of Stephen, Jesus Christ is going to return right here. Acts chapter 7, starting in verse 51. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, so do ye. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they have slain them which showed before the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the disposition of angels and have not kept it. And when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Now, what's happening right here, we have had 7 chapters of the apostles waiting for Jesus to return and to establish the kingdom. Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? And what did Jesus say? In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, when they say, Lord, will thou at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Jesus answered them and said, It is not for you to know the times or the season, which the Father has put in his own power, but ye shall receive power. And so everything that's happening from Acts chapter 1 to Acts chapter 7 is a fulfillment of the promise of Jesus Christ to come back and to give them the kingdom. And in Acts chapter 7, all they have to do is accept the preaching of the Holy Ghost through Stephen, and Jesus is going to come back at the end of Acts chapter 7. That's why Stephen said, I see heaven opened. And Jesus standing at the right hand of God. That's not what every believer sees when they die. That's not a doctrine that we see Jesus when we're getting ready to die. We could see Jesus when we get ready to die, but it's not a Bible doctrine. But what's happening here is the Jewish people are rejecting the preaching, not just of Stephen, but of the Holy Ghost. Don't forget, it is the Holy Ghost that is preaching through Stephen. God is giving the Jewish people one more chance to bring in the kingdom. And they blew it. They murdered Stephen because they rejected not just Stephen's preaching. Acts 7:55 said that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. And the Jews didn't want it. So what happened? Stephen said that he saw heaven opened and Jesus standing up. Well, what happens next? They killed Stephen. Jesus sits back down. Heaven closes. And then you have Acts chapter 8. And in Acts chapter 8, the first Gentile gets saved. We don't have time to go into that whole account. But read it sometime in Acts chapter 8, how the Ethiopian eunuch gets saved. The main thing about the Ethiopian eunuch is not that he was a black guy. It's that he was a Gentile. That's the main thing about the Ethiopian eunuch. Why do we suddenly have a Gentile getting saved? Because the dispensation has changed. The book of Acts is what they call a transitional book. It takes you from the Gospels. It takes you from Jewish believers waiting for a kingdom on earth to Jews and Gentiles in one body waiting for the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom. In Acts chapter 9, Saul becomes Paul. We don't have time to look at that either, but we have gone over that dozens of times. You know the story that Saul is knocked off his horse. And he says, Lord, what would thou have me to do? And Jesus commissions Saul. And he winds up becoming the leader of the church age. So I want you to be able to understand that for the first seven chapters of the book of Acts, Peter was the leader, and it was the kingdom age, and they were waiting for Jesus Christ to return and to set up a kingdom on earth according to what the Old Testament prophets had spoken. And then when they killed Stephen, the kingdom age was put on hold. It's been on hold for 2,000 years. And a new age began. A new dispensation began. God started to work differently. God started to work with the Gentiles. And now God begins to bring in Jews and Gentiles into one body. This is not what was happening on the day of Pentecost. In Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 29, Galatians 3, 26 through 29, we read this. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you has been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So, getting back to the book of Acts, the dispensation changed after the end of Acts chapter 7. It went from the dispensation of the kingdom age to the dispensation of the church age. This dispensation has been lasting for the last 2,000 years, and it will completely come to an end at the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. When we are removed in the rapture, that will officially and formally end the church age. And then the dispensation that comes in right after us is the time of Jacob's trouble, which includes the great tribulation. Now, we are not going to be here for that. But what we are seeing, and we're going to look at this in just a minute, just like in the book of Acts, after the dispensation changed, there were people who didn't know that it had changed. You had people preaching John the Baptist, people like Apollos, who was preaching John the Baptist in Acts chapter 18 and telling people to repent and get baptized, and having no idea that that dispensation had already ended. He had no clue of any kind. Turn to Acts chapter 18, and I'll show you something amazing. Turn to Acts chapter 18. All right, let's find the passage here. Acts chapter 18, starting in verse 24. Acts chapter 18, and we're going to look at 24 through 26. Acts 18, 24 through 26. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord. And being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, comma, knowing only the baptism of John. So Apollos is not even saved. He is in the wrong dispensation. And here he's come to Ephesus, and he is preaching the gospel of John the Baptist. Now, that's a man that has no idea that the dispensation has changed. So let's take a look and see what happens. Verse 26, and he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. You see what's happening here? Apollos is still preaching a kingdom age gospel. He had no idea that the dispensation had already changed at the end of Acts chapter 7. And now Apollos is preaching a gospel that can't save you. And so Priscilla and Aquila, they take him off to the side and they say, hey, we got to get you up to speed. We have new doctrine now. Things have changed. And look at what happens. Verse 27. And when he was disposed to pass into Achaia, the brethren wrote, exhorting the disciples to receive him, who, when he was come, helped them much which had believed through grace. And he mightily convinced the Jews, and that publicly, showing by the scriptures that Jesus was Christ. Now, can you see what happened here with Apollos? He's preaching the wrong doctrine for the wrong dispensation. Aquila and Priscilla take him off to the side, and they begin to give him Pauline gospel doctrine. They begin to teach Apollos that there is a new dispensation, and so there is new doctrine, which is why when the church age is over, and this is something that most Christians can't even wrap their head around, when the church age is over, Paul's gospel is not going to be the gospel that saves people. Just like with Apollos, he's preaching John the Baptist, and they have to take him off to the side, and they have to correct him. And they have to say to him, no, no, no. That was the gospel for a different time. Now, we live in a day and age where Christians who go to church are not taught how to rightly divide the Bible. They are not taught that God does things and operates in something that's called a dispensation. And so that they really don't know how to handle these types of changes. This is where the Catholic Church, the Charismatic Church, gets all messed up. And they're trying to replicate things for a time period that doesn't exist anymore. Apollos was wrong, and he had to be corrected. Chris has a question. When Paul wrote his epistles, were they diligently copied by believers to give to other churches? Yes, they were. Absolutely. So, Apollos was preaching wrong doctrine, so they corrected him. Now look at Acts chapter 19, verse 1. This is something that's fascinating. Look in Acts 19, verse 1. Kimmy D is asking, does the tribulation go back to the law? No. In the time of the great tribulation, you're going to have faith in Jesus Christ plus works. And a lot of Christians push back and they say, that's not true. There's only one gospel. And that is absolutely not true. There are multiple gospels. In the book of Revelation, the last gospel that is preached is something that's called the everlasting gospel. And that's not even preached by a human being. It's preached by an angel. Revelation 14, verses 6 and 7 say, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth. And so a Christian reads that, oh, an angel has the everlasting gospel. So if there's only one gospel, then this angel should be preaching the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But that's not what the angel preaches. Revelation 14, 6, and I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth and to every nation and kindred and people and tongue, saying with a loud voice, here it is, fear God, and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. Does that sound like Paul's gospel to you? Does that sound like the gospel of the grace of God? No, it does not. It's not even preached by a human being. But it's the gospel for the tribulation. Don't get stuck on that word gospel. There, throughout the entire Bible, God has had good news, which is what the word gospel means. God has had good news for people in every dispensation. in the time of Noah and the flood, the gospel was build an ark and get inside. That's what the gospel was in the days of Noah. In the time of Moses, the gospel was have faith in God and follow the law. Do you think the gospel that's in Matthew, Mark, and Luke is the same gospel that the Apostle Paul preached? It absolutely is not. Jesus says in Matthew 24 that the people alive in that time period have to endure unto the end in order to be saved. No Christian has to endure unto the end to be saved. I have been saved for 30 years. I don't have to endure anything for my salvation. I cannot be any more saved than I already am. So what does Jesus mean? What is Jesus talking about in Matthew 24 when he says, he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved? Enduring to the end of the tribulation without taking the mark of the beast. Revelation 14, the last gospel that is ever preached on the face of this earth is the everlasting gospel preached by an angel, and it has nothing to do with Paul's gospel. Because Paul's gospel will not save you in the time of Jacob's trouble, just like John the Baptist's gospel of repent and be baptized will not save you in the church age. Nobody today can get saved by being baptized. So do you see what I'm talking about when I say dispensations? They are different periods of time where God is operating in a different way to achieve the same result. God is working differently. Just like all the Old Testament saints that died and went to Abraham's bosom. They died with faith and having works by following the law. Now, they got saved the way that you and I got saved, but not while they were alive. They had to go wait in Abraham's bosom for Jesus to go to the cross. So, there are multiple gospels, and they do not all say the same thing. So, in Acts chapter 18, Aquila and Priscilla had to correct Apollos because he was preaching the wrong gospel. Now, turn to chapter 19 of the book of Acts. You want to see something that's absolutely crazy? Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 4. Acts chapter 19, 1 through 4. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coasts, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, unto John's baptism, John the Baptist. So Paul has come across some of the converts of Apollos, who had them baptized to John the Baptist's baptism. It's called the baptism of repentance. Acts 19:4. Then Paul said, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. You see what Paul is having to do? These people were preached to by Apollos, who gave them the wrong gospel, and now Paul is coming in to clean up the mess that Apollos made. And he's giving them the right gospel. And then verse 5 says, when they heard what Paul had to say, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. This means that Paul gave them the gospel of the grace of God, and they got saved. And then, believer's baptism. Verse 6 says, and when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. Now, that doesn't happen today when you and I get saved. Paul is still dealing with the signs of the apostles. He is still dealing with the remnants of the previous dispensation. And so when you read the book of Acts, you begin to see like a hodgepodge of all these different things happening. You see salvation by grace through faith alone, but you also see signs, miracles, and wonders. And then when you get to the end of the book of Acts, those signs, miracles, and wonders have stopped. And now everything starts to get much more like it is in our day today. It's an amazing thing to me that in Acts chapter 19, you have these people walking around having been preached a gospel that no longer applies. Now, what do you think is going to be the gospel during the time of Jacob's trouble? It's not going to be Paul's gospel. During the time of Jacob's trouble, it's going to be a gospel that's going to contain faith plus works. It's going to contain faith plus works. Now, the main work that they're going to have to perform during the time of Jacob's trouble is they are going to have to perform the work of rejecting the name, the number, the image, and the mark of the beast. That is the main work that they are going to have to perform. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Turn to Revelation chapter 6. Look at verses 9 through 11. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants and their brethren should be killed as they were, should be fulfilled. This is after the rapture. John has already been in heaven for two chapters. These are tribulation saints who are dying because they refuse to take the mark of the beast. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Look at verse 4. Revelation 20, verse 4. And I saw, this is after Revelation 20. This is after the time of Jacob's trouble is over. And I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. And judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, and which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Do you think the gospel of the grace of God is going to get those people through the time of Jacob's trouble? No, it won't. The gospel of the grace of God is only for the church age. It is not for any other dispensation. And just like those people in Acts chapter 18 and Acts chapter 19, and they're getting baptized to the gospel of repentance under John the Baptist, and Paul has to come in and preach to them the right gospel with different doctrine. So, we're living in the end of the church age right now. Our church age is rapidly coming to a close. In Revelation chapter 3, it talks about the lukewarm Laodicean church. That's our day right now. I did an article the other day. A man by the name of Kyle and his wife Reagan. He called me up on the phone the other day, and he said that a couple of years ago, he was one of those lukewarm Laodiceans that I always talk about on the Bible study programs. And he said he got convicted and he didn't want to be a lukewarm Laodicean, so he threw his NIV Bible in the trash and got himself a King James Bible. And bit by bit, listening to the Bible studies, he got on fire for God, and he put up a billboard in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And you can go to nowtheendbegins.com and you can see the article. It's right on the front page. But the billboard says, all have sinned, the penalty is hell, salvation is only through Jesus Christ. And then he quotes John 3:16, Romans 6:23, and Romans 10:13. So what did Brother Kyle put on that billboard? He put the gospel of the grace of God, Paul's gospel. Do you know that John 3:16 is very heavily influenced by the Apostle Paul? You won't find anything remotely like John 3:16 in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Did you know that the gospel of, when John wrote the gospel of John, he had already read everything that the Apostle Paul had ever written. And so before John writes one word of his gospel, John had already been taught by the Apostle Paul the gospel of the grace of God. And that's why Matthew, Mark, and Luke, which are geared towards Jews in the kingdom age, is very, very different from the gospel of John, which is very heavily influenced by the Apostle Paul. And so when people tell me that you can't get saved on John 3:16, that is absolutely not true. Now, I'm a little bit biased when I say that, because I got saved on John 3:16. And I know that I know that I know that I'm saved. I don't doubt my salvation ever. Why? Well, because of places that I told SAJ to look at. 1 John 5:13, what does that say? These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. I'm not going to call God a liar. God said that I may know. Okay, I take him at his word. I know. So what I'm trying to show you is that in Acts chapter 18, Apollos is teaching a wrong gospel. He is teaching the gospel of repentance of John the Baptist. But it wasn't wrong when that dispensation was active. It was the right gospel for the right dispensation. And so when the dispensation changed at the end of Acts chapter 7, not everybody was aware of it. It kind of happened in stages. The Apostle Paul starts out and he has the power to raise people from the dead. He has power to miraculously heal people. And yet when you get to the end of the Apostle Paul's life, he can't help his friends who are sick. And Timothy has stomach problems and he's infirm a lot of the time. The Apostle Paul no longer has the power to lay his hands on Timothy and give Timothy a healing. In Acts chapter 19, people are walking around being baptized to John the Baptist and not even knowing that the Holy Ghost has come. And so Paul has to get everybody up to speed. So you have to keep in mind that when you are reading any particular section of the Bible, what dispensation is in view? Now, in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And so God writes the Bible in such a way that everything just kind of rolls together as an ongoing story, as an ongoing historical account of events that took place. And it's up to you and I to read those accounts and to rightly divide what we're reading. There's three groups of people that God can be addressing at any one time. He can be talking to the Jews and Israel. He can be talking to the church. Or he can be talking to unsaved Gentiles. So whenever you read any passage in the Bible, anywhere in the Bible, the first thing that you have to do is you have to figure out who is God talking to. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, he is talking exclusively to Jewish believers. And every once in a while, he'll throw in a couple verses that could be applied to the church age. And how do you know? Because you have to rightly divide. And you have to compare scripture with scripture. And you have to take every section on its own merits, rightly divide it, find out who God is talking to, and then you'll know who it applies to. For example, turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 6. Let me show you something that will be part of the gospel for the people in the time of Jacob's trouble. This is the verse that terrifies Christians. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 4 through 6. Hebrews 6, 4 through 6. "For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew themselves again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, how many times have a Christian read that section and then got convicted because they were backslidden, and now they think, well, this passage says that I fell away, and it also says that it's impossible for me to get back to where I was. Certainly, God is not talking to any Christian in this passage. Who is God talking to in this passage? He's talking to people in the time of Jacob's trouble. That's who he's talking to. He is talking to believers. If you read the five chapters that come before this, everything is geared toward comparing the Old Testament with the high priest compared to Jesus Christ, who is our higher priest. And these people in Hebrews chapter 6, they hear the claims, they see the miracles, they hear the word, and they wind up taking the mark of the beast anyway. That's these people. The book of Hebrews is not doctrine for a Christian. The book of Hebrews is going to be a gospel during the time of Jacob's trouble. Now, how do I know that these people are in the time of Jacob's trouble? Look down at the bottom of Hebrews 10 and look at verses 38 and 39. These people that are being addressed in Hebrews, look down at the bottom of Hebrews chapter 10, 38 and 39. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. That word perdition shows you it's the time period where the man of sin, the son of perdition, is calling people to worship him and to take his name and his number and his image and his mark. But Paul writes here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 39, we are not of them who draw back unto perdition. We are not of them that join with Antichrist. Now, they reject Antichrist, and what happens? They wind up becoming a tribulation saint because they get their head cut off because they refuse the mark of the beast. So hopefully I've been able to show you tonight that 2,000 years ago in the book of Acts, there was a dispensation change. And for a brief period of time, you had people not knowing that things had changed, that things were different. But what's going to be different about the way that our dispensation is going to end is that our dispensation is going to end in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, and everybody's going to know that something had changed. But by the time that they realize that something has changed, it's going to be too late. I wrote an article a number of years ago about being left behind. And I wrote, 1 minute after the pre-tribulation rapture of the church, the Bible becomes a closed book for all those people who are left behind, and a great famine is going to take place across America and around the world. It's not going to be a famine of food and water. It's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. Amos chapter 8, verses 11 through 13. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord, and they shall wander from sea to sea, and from the north even to the east. They shall run to and fro and seek the word of the Lord, and shall not find it. In that day the fair virgins and young men faint for thirst. That's talking about the time of Jacob's trouble. Do you realize that 1 minute after the rapture of the church, there will not be one person on the face of the earth that can understand the Bible? And all these millions and millions and millions of Bibles are going to sit there, and for the first time in human history, the Bible is not going to be able to help anybody. I want you to think about that. An unsaved person cannot understand the Bible. 1 Corinthians 2:14 says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." 1 Corinthians 2:14. Now, when people get saved now, they are pushed to consider the claims of the Bible by people who are already saved and can teach them what the Bible says. So, we pick up a Bible, just like the brother did with his doctor. He gets a Bible from Now the End Begins. He takes the Bible to his doctor. He gives the Bible to him, and he begins to witness to him. Now, his witness, because he has the Holy Spirit, because he's saved, his witness now witnesses to his doctor, and then he gives him the Word of God, and now if that man believes the word of God, that Bible now opens up to him. But if you have a world where every single person who is saved is removed at the same time, there is nobody left to witness. There is nobody left to say, hey, pick up that Bible, open that King James Bible, that has the truth. There is nobody preaching to anybody. And so from the time of the rapture to the time that God raises up the 144,000 witnesses, who are not Jehovah's Witnesses, but they will be witnesses for Jehovah, absolutely. From the time of the rapture to the time of the 144,000 witnesses, if there is going to be a famine around the world, a famine for hearing the word of God. And that's going to be a completely different dispensation. And when those 144,000 start preaching, guess what they preach? They preach Hebrews. They're going to preach James and Jude, whole sections of 1 Peter and 2 Peter. They are not going to be preaching the Apostle Paul, because Paul's gospel will not be the gospel that can save your soul. Salvation by grace through faith alone will not be the gospel of the tribulation. faith in Jesus Christ, and then works. The works of not taking the mark of the beast. And believe me, I think we're all starting to see with these vaccine passports just how much your life can be impacted if they have created a system that you're not a part of. And the vaccine is not the mark of the beast, but it's a prototype for the mark of the beast. And what they're doing in New York City right now with their Excelsior Pass and their key to NYC, that is absolutely a prototype of the mark of the beast. It won't be the mark until after the rapture. But what you're seeing happening right now, that is the warm-up to the mark of the beast. And during that time, if you miss the rapture and you find yourself in the time of Jacob's trouble, Paul's gospel is not going to save you. You're going to need to have faith in Jesus Christ, and you're going to need to do works that, if you do them properly, will likely cost you your life. I didn't say improperly. I said you are going to be called to do works that, if you do them properly, will likely cost you your life. I wrote this article called, "If You're Left Behind After the Pre-Tribulation Rapture of the Church, You May Never Get Another Chance to Get Saved." I have a whole section under Bible doctrine called Left Behind. I wrote an article called "You've Missed the Pre-Tribulation Rapture of the Church, Now What?" And I think it's important that everybody has Left Behind articles that your friends and loved ones can have access to after we go. And if you're not creative, if you haven't written one, you can just go to nowtheendbegins.com, go to the Bible doctrine section, and there's a subsection called Left Behind. You can grab any one of the articles that we've already published, and you can feel free to take those and share those. And with that, we've come to the end of our time for tonight. I thank you so much for being part of this program. I love bringing these programs to you. Make sure that you're on the mailing list. It's completely free. If you're not on the list, just send an email to Jeanette, Jannette, at nowtheendbegins.com, and she'll put you on the list, and you'll get all these prayers and praise requests so that you can pray for these people during the week. And please keep praying. God is listening, God is answering, and God is working through us in a mighty, mighty, powerful way. And I don't know about you, but I really want that to continue. Thank you so much for tuning in. Lord willing, we'll see you back here Friday afternoon at noon, Eastern Standard Time, for another edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. And Gabby, if you're still listening, very glad to have you back. Good night, everybody.
One day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt among men, my example is he. The word became flesh and the light shined among us, his glory revealed. Living he loved me, dying he saved me, and buried he carried my sins far away. Rising he justified freely for
die on a tree. Suffering, anguish, despised and rejected, bearing our sins, my Redeemer is He. The hands that heal nations stretched out on a tree and took the nails for me. He's living, He loved me. Dying, He saved me. And buried, He carried me, my sins far away. Rising, He justified, freely forever. One day He's coming, oh glorious day, oh glorious day.
One day the grave could conceal Him no longer. One day the stone rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now is ascended, my Lord evermore.
Death could not hold Him, the grave could not keep. Rising, He justified, freely forever.